Welcome in to episode 369 of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Tonight, we realize how much wrestling is going on in the wrestling world on one given night. But we are here to talk about a little bit about TNA, a little bit about New Japan. We'll hit SmackDown, Rampage, Collision, and Battle of the Belts 9. With me tonight is Seth Zillman. Jarrett is out on a very important assignment. He's getting married. How dare he?
Nope, that is a pretty important assignment, I guess.
But anyway, Seth, how the hell are you?
Well, we don't have to relate to Jarrett with snow, but anybody who lives in the Chicago area, like the two of us do, saw the usual mountainous amounts of snow that accumulates on January, and of course all the social media posts from people that seem to forget that it snows every January in the Chicagoland area. So once you get all that out of the way, it's kind of back to normal. But yeah, we got a lot of wrestling to talk about, and the timer's going, so let's not waste a second.
Yeah, not only do we have snow, but in about 4 hours from now it will be 2 below actual temperature.
Mm-hmm. Woohoo! Yep.
All right. Well, there hasn't been much news in the last 48 hours, so we're just going to hit on two other companies tonight. Interesting, so much wrestling was going on tonight, and not an ounce of it was WWE, because obviously yeah. SmackDown aired last night. But TNA presented their rebranding back to TNA, formerly Impact Wrestling. As we have been discussing all week, they got shiny new belts, and tonight they gave some of them to new people as they had their Hard to Kill pay-per-view in Las Vegas. Titles that changed hands were the digital media title won by Crazy Steve. The Knockouts tag titles were won by the returning Decay. The Knockouts world title was won by Jordynne Grace, which I predicted last episode because Trinity is rumored to show up at the Royal Rumble. Mm-hmm. And the world title was won by Moose. But that was those weren't the most important things that happened, because they had been promoting that they had a big signing that was going to appear at Hard to Kill. And in chronological order, they had Xia Brookside, formerly of NXT UK. And I'm like, no, that's not big enough. And then Dana Brooke appeared, who was now going by Ash by Elegance, which is a weird name. She's a perfume, apparently. And
it almost looks like she's kind of channeling Toni Storm for a little bit, kind of like that glamour girl look.
Right?
I mean, there's enough where I think you can make it different, because Toni Storm's clearly going the Hollywood route. Maybe Dana Brooke's going the
route.
Yeah, you know.
I'm like, well, that's bigger than Xia Brookside, but that's not quite big enough. And as I'm watching through the main event, I'm like, okay, obviously it's a main event player, and it's going to happen at the end of this match. So can we hurry up and get to the end of the match, please? And Moose defeats Alex Shelley, and out comes Nick Nemeth, FKA Dolph Ziggler. And he lays Moose down with the zigzag, goes out into the crowd, rips off his heavy metal shirt. I couldn't tell which shirt he had on. I wasn't really paying attention. But to reveal a TNA shirt. So he is officially signed. That means he is not joining his brother in AEW, but his brother looks to be joining him in New Japan. That's a whole nother story. So, Seth, thoughts on the former Dolph Ziggler landing in TNA?
Well, he's showing up all over the place, which doesn't surprise me at all. I think he's also going to Puerto Rico for a WWC. I think it's only a matter of time before he shows up on AEW in some capacity, especially since New Japan does have the working relationship with AEW. I'm not saying he's going to win a title or anything, but he might show up as a special opponent at like a pay-per-view or something like that. So it's good to see him get kind of the recognition I think that he's earned, because we were saying this, I hate to say it, but over 10 years ago now, that they probably could have been like a long-term world champion with the guy. I know not just us, I think other people were saying it as well, but to see him get that status where probably getting out of WWE might actually make him a bigger international star. So it's good to see that. So hopefully he's still got the great matches in him that he's had for so many years. I mean, he's 43, 44 now. So it'll also be interesting to see if he adapts to an international style now that he's not out of, or now that he's done with WWE.
Should be interesting to say the least. Moving on, we had New Japan Battle in the Valley tonight also. But what's newsworthy out of that is that Jack Perry showed up, ripped up his quote-unquote AEW contract, put on an armband that said scapegoat on it, and attacked Shota Umino. So it's funny that what it looks to me is like they're building him up in New Japan to eventually flip back to AEW and run an angle there. But apparently that's going to be his new nickname, the scapegoat, even though it was Punk who got fired. So not really sure how he's a scapegoat other than he was suspended indefinitely. But, should be interesting in the world of New Japan.
Yeah, I think you're right that it will eventually bring him back to AEW, because Shota Umino was John Moxley's protege in New Japan. So I don't think he's officially a member, but he might be an honorary member of the BCC. So there's a story to bring him back in, because if Jack Perry's slapping him around in New Japan, Moxley shows up in New Japan a lot as well. So there's a natural story that could bring the son of Red Shoes into AEW finally.
Well, we will have to keep an eye out for that. One other thing quickly about TNA that I forgot to mention that is kind of newsworthy. It's happened before, but not over the top newsworthy. But Mercedes Moné and Bayley were both seen at Hard to Kill as they were up in the upper mezzanine top row for cheering on Trinity, obviously. But people at the show did snap pictures of them. They were in hoodies and sunglasses, but it's clearly easy to see who they are. And they were at that show and backstage of that show.
I'm assuming they were not on camera.
No, just on people who were there. But hopefully Bayley does not get in too much trouble for that. Maybe with Vince not in power, she won't, because that seemed to be a Vince thing that he would just punish, because, you know, that's what he did.
Yeah.
Let us get over to SmackDown that happened last night. Quickly, I will run down the results, and then we can talk about things that caught our eye. Grayson Waller versus Cameron Grimes went to a no contest as it was interrupted by the Bloodline. They cut a promo, and they were interrupted themselves by Nick Aldis. And Nick Aldis said that they were going to make he essentially said the four-way at the Rumble was official. Nothing's changing that. And tonight, since they want to get involved in other people's matches, they're going to be in the main event. 3-on-3, AJ, LA, and RKO taking on the Bloodline. And then Paul's like, Nick, you know Roman Reigns is not in Nebraska tonight. Nick says, you're right, he's not. So you have a little less than 2 hours to find a third person. Otherwise, if you don't, it's just going to be a 3-on-2 handicap match. So back a little bit later, back in the locker room of the Bloodline, Jimmy expresses to Paul that he is worried. And Solo just calmly says, I'm not. And he walks off. And then Jimmy quickly changes the tune and says, well, if Solo's not worried, then I'm not worried. I'm not. No. Yeet. And he walks off. And I'm like, Jimmy is slowly becoming one of the funniest characters in WWE. He just might need his wife to calm him down. We can hope for that. So we will see. Humberto Carrillo and Angel Garza defeated Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. Carmelo Hayes shows up in Nick Aldis's office, but he's interrupted by Austin Theory and Grayson Waller. They agree to a match, but Grayson doesn't want the match, so he gives it to Austin, who looks pissed off about it. So that's a match for later. A vignette between Tyler Bate and Butch, where they heavily tease that Butch is going to go back to Pete Dunne. Bianca Belair defeat. What was that?
I just said hopefully.
Oh, yeah. Bianca Belair defeated Bayley. Bayley received no help from Damage Control. They had a segment in the back where Dakota Kai said, "Hey, the referee was standing right there. What did you expect us to do? And besides, you have a rumble to win. You have to do that on your own. So consider it a learning experience. And I consider it the next step in Bayley being ostracized from Damage Control." There was an in-ring segment with The Pride, which is the stable of Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, which is an awful, awful name. And they were interrupted by a video package by the other new stable, The Final Testament, which is Karrion Kross, Scarlett, Paul Ellering, and the Authors of Pain. Carmelo Hayes and Austin Theory ends in a no contest due to a double injury, double real injury. The referee threw up the X throughout the match. And it was on a, I don't want to say botched, but it was on a wicked landing from what looked to be a Spanish fly attempt. And Austin Theory landed hard on the back of his neck. And then he essentially dropped Carmelo Hayes on his neck. And so they were both kind of knocked loopy. From what I understand, they are both okay. But the referee didn't want to take any chances and he just called it off.
Yeah, and good for the referee. I mean, if that's what happened, then good on him.
And in the main event, the Babyfaces defeated the Bloodline in a 3-on-2 handicap match because though Paul was active throughout the show and trying to recruit people, nobody said yes. So that is what happens. Mm-hmm. The show ended with the usual Paul Heyman on his phone saying, "Call Roman Reigns," even though that is not how Siri works. But anyway, that was SmackDown. Just quick overall thoughts. Anything grab your fancy?
Well, it seemed like it was just one of those shows where there really weren't that many stories advanced. I think they're just kind of in a holding pattern for the Royal Rumble. That's just me. I mean, I may be wrong. Like I said, I really don't watch Raw and SmackDown beginning to end. I usually just kind of watch the highlights because whatever they want me to know, they're going to show highlights and the PLEs, the pay-per-views or whatever we are going to call them now. So yeah, it just felt kind of like a holding pattern show.
Agreed. And I think that is where we're at. Next week, we are going to get the contract signing for the Fatal 4-Way. So Roman will be coming to work again. Woohoo!
Yeah.
All right, moving on to AEW Rampage, also on Friday. And I'll just give you the quick results here. Plus, I'm a little pissed off at the Hardys, but we'll get to that in a second. Eddie Kingston defeated Wheeler Yuta to retain the AEW Continental Crown title. Swerve Strickland defeated Matt Sydal. A video package for Sanjay Dutt having a plan to get Jay Lethal back on track, considering he was 0-for in the Continental Classic. Hikaru Shida defeated Queen Aminata, and Dark Order, John Silver, Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno, accompanied by Negative One, defeated Matt Menard, Angelo Parker, and Jake Hager. Somewhere in this hour, the Hardys were interviewed, and they said that they're going to change directions in 2024. And they were interested in the AEW tag team titles, but now that they've had a trios match with Mark Briscoe, they are going after the AEW trios title. And Matt Hardy called themselves the Brethren. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, pal, don't make me call my attorneys on you. That's our name, Buster. Anyway,
can you say that in the air?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe we need Jarrett's attorneys. Who knows?
Shit.
AEW Collision that aired tonight. Adam Copeland had his open challenge again and defeated Lee Moriarty, who apparently is now part of Shane Taylor Promotions. Mm-hmm. The Ring of Honor six-man titles were defended and retained as Mogul Embassy defeated Lance Archer and The Righteous. Dustin Rhodes defeated Willie Mack. Hangman Adam Page defeated J.D. Drake. Deonna Purrazzo, in her debut in-ring, defeated Red Velvet. And in the main event, the House of Black defeated FTR and Daniel Garcia. And before I get your AEW thoughts, we will wrap with AEW Battle of the Belts 9, ninth installment of this show, and ninth show where no titles change hands. What is the point? Orange Cassidy defeated Preston Vance. Big Bill and Ricky Starks defeated La Sex Gods. And Julia Hart defeated Anna Jay. So why are we defending all these titles if not one of them is going to change? Give it a Saturday night main event or a shotgun Saturday night feel and change a belt every now and again.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be every episode. It doesn't have to be every Battle of the Belts. But like you said, there hasn't even been one. Now, that said, the matches were all good. I mean, I think they had Hangman go a little bit too long with the guy from the Workhorseman, but I guess it was because it was his hometown, but all the title matches were good. All the wrestling was good. And when you think about it, between everything we talked about, within a little over 24 hours, there was SmackDown from WWE. AEW had Rampage, Collision, and Battle of the Belts. TNA had Hard to Kill, which I'm assuming had no Steven Seagal in it. And New Japan had their Battle in the Valley. So there's a lot of battling going on. That's what, 4 or 5 promotions that all had shows within a little over 24-hour time period?
Yeah, like I said, the only thing that didn't happen tonight was a WWE show. So. Mm-hmm. But Royal Rumble will be in 2 weeks' time, so there's that. They'll have that Saturday, and that might be why these other ones were scheduled for tonight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you said there were good matches. Obviously, this was the ninth installment of Battle of the Belts. It's usually 3 matches per show. So that's 27 good quality matches, not one title change among
them.
Fantastic. Maybe Battle of the Belts 10. Celebrating 10 episodes, well, who knows? So that kind of was a wrap on a crazy Saturday and a normal Friday, I guess. Like I said at the top, no new news other than what happened tonight in other promotions. Final thoughts, Seth, of these crazy shows that obviously we're not able to all watch all of them.
Yeah, that was a lot of wrestling to watch. Yeah, so like I said, I just watched some highlights. I'll probably watch the rest within the next 24 hours. But like I said, I've been saying it a lot because it's true, but this is a really interesting time to be a wrestling fan. Not only is all this great wrestling available, but it's historic because we now have WWE without the McMahons in charge, at least as far as creative. So it's definitely a new era that we're in. And I think we're really, if we're not already in it, we're on the verge of another golden age. This is going to be another one of those times where people are going to be saying, man, that they were wrestling back in the 2020s. You know, the stuff we have now is fine, but back in the 2020s, that's when wrestling was really great.
Just not
2020. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. Yeah.
Yeah. All these promotions hopefully will thrive in 2024. And, you know, Dolph and Ash do not get me to watch TNA on a regular basis, but I'll be paying more attention to them. We'll leave it at that. So some things have been announced for next week already. I don't want to waste time getting into all that. Those will be talked about, obviously, in their normal episode slots. Raw should be interesting as we, you know, get closer to the Royal Rumble. Perhaps more people will declare, you know, we got 2 weeks to get those prop bet predictions ready. If we're going to, you know, throw a whole bunch against the wall and see what sticks trying to get points. And sometimes you got to be careful because you could wind up with negative points. Mm-hmm. But we will have to see. Next week, we will be rolling again. Raw and NXT on Tuesday, Dynamite on Thursday, and all the crazy weekend wrestling on a Saturday. So until then, once again, thank you for downloading, listening, and subscribing. And we will talk to you next time. Thank you for listening to this episode. You can subscribe to the Wrestling Brethren podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast fix to hear the latest discussion from the Wrestling Brethren. Visit the mothership, if you will, at twbpodcast.com, the online home of the Wrestling Brethren podcast. Let us know your thoughts, questions, and comments on Twitter/X at twbpshow, on Facebook at facebook.com/behindthesquaredcircle, and on Instagram at the Wrestling Brethren. You can follow Jarrett on Twitter/X at TheBaconRev. You can follow Seth at LordXandrax. And you can follow Josh at SouthpawJosh. Thank you again for listening, and we will talk to you soon with more from the Wrestling Brethren.